Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Dr. Dean Professor. I'm the one and only Don S. McClure, radio talk show host and renowned author and highly respected and widely honored. And I got a radio show on Friday. You're listening to my show, and it is Friday. It is the 20th of June, and I am so glad to be here. We have been having some problems with our soundboard, and I don't know what was going on. It would go in and out, come back in. So we're trying a couple of microphones, seeing if that's it, but we're going to find out what's going on. We've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to go back to somebody that was born long before any of us was even thought of. I think it's 1885, and this lady was such an amazing songwriter that she just blew my mind when I was reading her stuff, and I was like, you got to be kidding. But anyway, this is going to be a great show. We are going to pay honor to Mr. Tony Gwynn, who was one of the greatest baseball players in the world. He just died of cancer, and from what I understand, he says that he thinks it was chewing on, I guess, that tobacco stuff that people chew. But anyway, he's gone, and that's such a loss to us because he was such a great person. We're also going to get a chance to play one of my interviews that I did a while ago on 17 young men who actually came from different high schools, different communities, and had different backgrounds, and they're talking about what they think and how they felt about teachers teaching them. And the reason why we're bringing that up is because I had a young lady on my show. She's a teacher, and she works with boys all the time. And I was telling her, I said, sometimes the guys need to be listened to so they can tell you how they really feel about teachers. But that's going to be an amazing interview. You're going to get at least 10 minutes of that interview, so it's going to be amazing. We're going to go back to a young lady that did a track. I mean, it was so old, just one look. You probably don't even remember that, but so many people recorded that track. So, again, we're going to do Deborah Cox. We're going to do Ready or Not by After Seven. I mean, we've got a great show for you. But like I said, we're going to honor Mr. Tony Gwynn. We're going to get into some good things. And the show's topic tonight, of course, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of relationships, business and personal. Determine your self-worth and your project destiny, examining real support. Or is it just fluff that people are telling you? We will discuss the value of commitment in business and personal. And there is a myth that you can succeed on your own, which is a myth. So we got a lot of great things to talk about tonight, but I hope you can hear me. The show is going pretty good so far. So it's just a great honor to be here with you guys on Friday. We're going to start it off with Ms. Deborah Cox. Then we're going to talk about her. And you, everybody knows she's phenomenal. So we're going to hit a track by her. Who do you love? Telling this guy, hey, if you don't love me and you're leaving me, then who the heck you think you're going to love? And I like that. She was like, hey, listen, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're going to miss me. So let's get into Deborah Cox doing Who Do You Love? When we come back, we'll be ready to talk a little bit about Tony Gwynn and some of these other great people. And I want to send shouts out to all my fans. Oh, wait, I got to tell you this. This is so fun. Well, I'll tell you after I play the music, because I want to tell you a funny story that happened the other night between me and one of my fans. But let's get into Deborah Cox called Who Do You Love? And guys, listen to this now, because she's saying, hey, when you dump me, you may not find nothing better.
But you went away, babe, and it's such a shame.
Man, if that wasn't somebody telling you, you know, who do you love if you don't love me? That's Deborah Cox, and we're going to talk about her tonight on the show. And actually, she's from Canada, so but she's living in Miami right now. That's what I heard. Anyway, we're going to talk about her, but first, I want to pay a tribute to Tony Gwynn. And I want you to check this guy out because Tony Gwynn was really, really a phenomenal, phenomenal baseball player. I mean, I read a lot of great things about him, and I want you to really check this guy out. Tony Gwynn, he's a Hall of Famer with a sweet left-handed swing who spent his entire 20-year career with the Padres and was one of San Diego's most beloved athletes. He died of cancer Monday. He was at the age of 54. Gwynn, nicknamed Mr. Padre, had been on a medical leave since late March from his job as a baseball coach at San Diego State, his alma mater. He died at the hospital in suburban Poa. His agent, John Bogues, is the one to put that out there. But he said for more than 30 years, Tony Gwynn was a source of universal goodwill in the national pastime. And he will be deeply missed by the many people he touched. Commissioner Bud Sled said Gwynn had two operations for cancer in his right cheek between August 20th, 2010 and February 2012. The second surgery was for a facial nerve. Man, that's got to be deep. So I don't want you guys out there doing any tobacco. If you're doing that kind of stuff, you need to quit. Anyway, they grafted a nerve from Gwynn's neck to help him eventually regain facial movement. Gwynn said he believed the cancer came from chewing tobacco. So again, the baseball world is going to miss one of the greats, and the world itself is going to miss one of the great men. Flannery said, I say, a lot of people said he cared so much for other people. He had a work ethic unlike anybody else in the game and had a childlike demeanor of playing the game just because he loved it so much. In a rarity in pro sports, Gwynn played his whole career with the Padres. He didn't change teams, choosing rather than leaving for bigger paychecks where he could have went. His terrific hand-eye coordination made him one of the game's greatest. I mean, this guy was just good. So we got to send a hat out to him. We have to send a shout out to his family. And I think, like I said, I want you to look up this guy because Tony Gwynn was just super bad. So again, I want you to just look him up. Make sure you get involved in him. We just played a track by Deborah Cox. She is born July 13th, 1974. And she is listed as a Canadian R&B singer, songwriter, and actress. Her 1998 song, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here, and everybody played that before, held the records for the longest running number one single on Billboard. 14 weeks, a record held for nearly 8 years. She has achieved 12 number one hits on Billboard, Hot Dance Club tracks. She is often cited as Canada's top R&B artist. We even got a track by her that we're going to play with Deborah Cox and Whitney Houston. So we got a lot of great things to play by her. We're going to be talking about her. Deborah Cox was born in Toronto to parents Alfro Ganis, and she grew up in Scarsborough, Toronto, and attended John the 23rd Catholic Elementary School. I mean, I told you, us Catholics, man. We say a lot of Hail Mary full of graces and get in trouble. But anyway, let me play a track by Deborah Cox. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about her. And actually, I'm enjoying Deborah Cox because I like her a lot. So let's find this track, What a Difference a Day Makes, because we're going to talk about the young lady who wrote that track. And then we're going to talk more about Deborah Cox. But I want you to definitely listen to this track, because this track, when I tell you when it was written originally by a Mexican female songwriter who was one of the first Mexican songwriters in the world to achieve so much greatness. And her songs have been sang by so many darn people, it's ridiculous. So let's get to Deborah Cox doing something different from the last track you had, What a Difference a Day Makes. And I know a lot of you say Sarah Vaughan and everybody else, but I'm telling you, Deborah Cox smokes this, and then we're going to tell you who wrote that song. Thank you.
difference a day made. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers. Ooh, where they used to be
started her songwriting career at the age of 4 years old. I'm just telling you what I read. And I'm telling you, this song that you just heard was originally a popular song written in Spanish by Maria Griever, G-R-E-V-E-R, a Mexican songwriter, in 1934. Now, the English lyrics were written by Stanley Adams, because at that time they would go to her, get songs, and translate them into English. But to show you how amazing this was, the song was played first by somebody we never even heard of, Harry Roy, R-O-Y, and his orchestra, and it was published in late 1934. The most successful early recording in 1934 that made this song start to move was a group called the Dorsey Brothers, and I know we don't remember them. Then people like Dinah Washington did the song and won a Grammy, 1959. Her version was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1998. It also earned her first top 10 pop hit, reached number 8 on Billboard. Then, I mean, this song kept taking off so much that Andy Russell, a Mexican-American songwriter, recorded it, 1944. Von Munro, 1955. Bobby Darin, in 1964, recorded it and put it on a 1960. Actually, did it in 60, and then it came out as a release in 64. Dean Martin did the song on his album called Dino Latino, 62. Lil Anthony and the Imperials did it in 1962. Ben E. King recorded the song again on Benny King Sings for Soulful Lovers, 62. Lonnie Johnson did the song in the movie soundtrack, Losing Game. Then it was recorded by Diana Ross in 1972, but not released until 34 years later, when her Blue album was discovered in the Motown vaults and released in 2006. Then Esther Phillips did it in 1975. It was an instrumental on keyboard by Claire Fisher. I mean, man, the Royal Philharmonic recorded this in 1993. Natalie Cole did it on Stardust in 2013, a Spanish version, as well as her 1996. Barry Manilow did it. Deborah Cox sang it. Kiss sang it. Peter Criss sang it. China Moses, Rod Stewart, Julian Dawn. I'm reading so many names. It's about 800 names on here. And this is just amazing because this young lady, like I said, she had to leave her country and then do other things. I mean, this is just amazing. And we're going to talk about her life because this young lady here, nobody had any idea that a young Mexican songwriter born in 1894, died in 1951, was a pioneer in the field of 20th century pop and music, was the first Mexican woman to become a successful composer. Her romantic songs and ballads, What a Difference a Day Make, achieved wide, worldwide popularity beginning in the spring of 1920 amongst audiences in Spain, South America, Mexico, and the United States. I mean, we're going to talk about this lady. And I want you to look her name up. Maria, M-A-R-I-A, G-R-E-V-E-R. I mean, that's a heck of a woman. 1894, which is what I always talk about, getting eternal life. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. You are 23 minutes into the show. I'm enjoying the show. I'm trying to get my mic up as loud as I can get it. I don't know why we've been having problems lately. But it's 7:23, and today is the 20th, and you are listening to the Don S. McClure Show. We've got some subjects to talk about tonight. We're going to take a quick break and listen to a PSA, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about Deborah Cox, Maria Griver, and just a whole bunch of other great people.
We try to hide our truths about our mental and substance use disorders from the world, and sometimes from ourselves. Saying I'm fine is a facade. By facing our problems, recovery begins. And we are empowered to speak our truth. Join the voices for recovery. Speak up. Reach out.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
La recuperación comienza cuando enfrentamos nuestros desórdenes mentales y de uso de sustancias. Únete a las voces de la recuperación. Alza tu voz. Comparte el mensaje.
To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers ever written. In this amazing new drama, Joey is the brilliant and fascinating underworld figure every prosecutor, law official, politician, and other rising crime figure love to hate. It's up to him to keep his friend and his friend's family safe and uninvolved in this plan that he knows will destroy everything the loving couple have worked so hard to build.
Woo! And that was, of course, some information about my book, To Have a Friend, and you can find all my books at www.dsmpublications.net. I mean, man, this lady, I'm looking at the information on her. And I just can't get enough of learning about this woman that was so phenomenal from Mexico. Now, they made a film about her, and I couldn't actually get the pictures of her, but who's ever playing her role is on my screen board. And from what I could see, she's a beautiful young woman. So if this is a rendition of her, this girl was bad. Aretha Franklin actually loved this lady's songs. Placido Domingo loved her songs. And like I say, she was born September 14th, 1894, in Mexico City, Mexico. Her maiden name was Maria de la Portela. She spent much of her children's time or childhood in Spain and traveled widely in Europe with her family. At the age of 12, she returned to Mexico. According to a New York Times article, she did her first composing piece, A Christmas Carol. Now listen to this now. According to the New York Times, when she did her first Christmas Carol, she was 4 years old. She settled in New York after marrying Leo Graver, an American oil company executive who was the best man in her sister's wedding. She was wed to Graver for 4 days after his sister's nuptials, or whatever that means. The studio piano, violin, and voice, although one account of her life suggests that she learned to read music only in her later years. So she didn't even, they say that she didn't even know music really well, but she could write. In fact, most of her songs were written in one key. Now, can you, now check that out. We're always complaining and talking about relationships and how they work. And tonight we're talking about the pros and cons. Well, they say that here's a lady, in fact, did most of her songs written in one key. So when you're out there talking about pros and cons of relationships, whether you're writing, your personal relationships, just because you are different and you want to write different or see things different, or you don't want to go along with everything that everyone is saying, those are the pros and cons of your relationships. The cons are going to be a lot of people are not going to understand you. It's like a lot of people didn't understand her. She felt that. But at the same time, the pros is she made an indelible image on the world writing in one key. So that's why I always tell writers, you don't have to follow all that stuff that they did back in 1820. You don't have to follow the stuff that the universities say you should write like. You write what you feel. And you just may have something that everybody likes. Here's a woman that became successful at the age of, started writing again when she was 12. And then I'm reading that she did her music in one key. Graver said, to have the gift of perfect pitch was the reason why she wrote in one key. A 1919 review of her first New York City concert in the New York Times mentions that Graver, a soprano, performed opera in Madrid early in her career. Graver was an extraordinary, versatile musician. She frequently wrote both the melodies and lyrics of her pieces and then performed the pieces in live concerts. During her career, which peaked in the 1930s and 1940s, she wrote film scores and lyrics for Broadway shows and organized concerts combining theater, music, dance, and song. She was also a voice teacher. I mean, how much more greater can you get? And the sad part about it is I think when she got paralyzed and she came back to New York and she died in 1951. But I was reading something where she says, Graver once said, I had to leave my country. And now in New York, I'm interested in jazz and modern rhythms. But above all, in Mexican music, which I long to present to the American public, I'm afraid they don't know much about it. It is music worth spreading. There is such a cultural richness in Mexican music, its Hispanic and indigenous origins, and how they mix where melodies and rhythm merge together. It is my wish and yearning to present the native rhythms and tunes of Mexico from a real perspective, but with the necessary flexibility to appeal to the universal audiences. I mean, I can't get enough of talking about this lady. And like I said, her sounds are used, her tracks are used in current motion pictures. I was reading so much on this lady, it's hard to even talk about her because there's just so much that she did. So again, when you're talking about the pros and cons of relationships, and we're going to get back to that, we want you to understand that, you know what, get off the track of always paying attention to what everybody says you should do it a certain way. The pros are you're developing your own style. The cons are going to be you're going to get a lot of grief, a lot of headaches, a lot of stress. But if you stick with it, if you truly believe in yourself, you will end up being somebody that everybody truly says, you know what, years later, like Tony Gwynn and this young lady, you'll be admired for your strength. So again, don't create imaginary relationships. The relationships are going to show themselves. If you got 14,000 people on Facebook and they're really not buying your work, those are imaginary relationships. If you have 14,000 friends that are saying everything is okay and you're really not moving along in your career, or you're hanging around with people that are truly not working in your best interest, those are imaginary relationships. You can't make someone or any business feel the same or want the same end result as to your relationship in personal or business. And understanding the word commitment and when it is not there for your greater good, you've got to understand that. And I hear so many people complain and they got these myths that I could succeed by myself, and actually you can't. It is 7:30 for our show, and we're going to get ready to play our interview after we do another track by Miss Deborah Cox. And when we come back, we'll be ready to play these young boys, and I want you to listen to them because they're talking about how they feel teachers approach them in school and what the learning differences are. So, I mean, man, you just can't ask for nothing better than that. But let's get to this track by Deborah Cox called The Morning After. And when we come back, we're going to play the interview of these 12 young men. And that's why we're talking about the pros and cons of relationships, because they're going to give you what they feel are the cons of educational relationships and what they feel are the pros to teachers teaching them. So let's get to Deborah Cox, The Morning After.
Cause I already know what you're thinking. Yeah, things just got more complicated, but we can't fake it, this is real. So let's just go with it. We became more than just
the morning.
I know most of you guys know what she's talking about. The morning after, she thought they was just going to get together and kick it. And then all of a sudden, it's like the morning after. She's like, hey, I let you in. And I don't want you to go. Man, that's deep. That's Deborah Cox. We got to talk more about Deborah Cox. Man, I am enjoying my show. We got 52 more minutes into the show. We are going to play an old interview with these 17 or 15. I forgot how many boys was in the studio. But anyway, you're going to listen to a track that was done from an interview out of the New Jersey area. The guest that I had on my show today is a talented young man called Locke, and he's from the New Jersey area, and he does rap to Black history. Well, I looked up information to find out more about how boys felt about education. So let's get to that track so we can hear that. And I'm telling you, I want you to pay attention to these young boys because they're telling you 15 different students, 15 different schools, 15 different communities, and how all of them feel about how teachers are teaching boys and approach education for boys versus how they approach education for girls. So let's get this track. Then when I come back, we got more great music, but we got to let your boys tell you what's going on in their head.
That I'm great and the whole world is great. And I want to send a special shout-out to Carolyn McBride in Illinois. She's joining our web group. She's going to become a big fan and probably give me some birthday parties or something or some kind of to-dos. And especially to Damara Kirsten. I told her I'd make sure I send a shout-out to her today. She's in Chicago. She is a young female photographer in Chicago. She had a little run-in with a couple of non-professionals. And she swore she wasn't going to deal with the guys anymore. But I told her, don't worry about it. We all run into jerks, so it's no big thing. But I want you to sit back and relax while I read this email to you. Then I want you to get your pens and pads because we're going to be ready to do the show. I want to read one email this week from Dr. David Isaac Williamson. He is in Denver, Colorado. He says, to Don, I want you to know that when my wife received your book by mail, she became extremely excited, as if a new world had opened to her. That's good. She read your book in private, and with every moment she could find after doing all the family issues around our home. When she left, I guess to go to work. Oh, he says, when she left to take our daughter to cheerleading practice. Boy, I need to read this better. I removed the book from our study and began to read your life story. And just after a few pages, I could see what she enjoyed about your life and your writing. Needless to say, she was a little upset with him because he wouldn't give the book back. And then he took it to work and shared it with his friends and coworkers, and he thought it was extremely good. And he says, I admire your strength to deal with whatever has come your way and that God has kept you safe and given you many gifts that you share with others. I now have my own copy of your book, and our daughter has a copy of your book that she takes to school with her, and we plan on buying all the books that you write for our library. One day I would like for you to sign our copies. Oh, and by the way, my wife is no longer upset with me. She just won't let me read your new book, Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. She is going to order it today. Her words, get your own copy. So that's from Dr. David Isaacson, Denver, Colorado. We are ready to start the show. I've got my guy on hold. He is sitting here waiting for me. I'm going to get a chance to talk to him. He is a great guy. And we're going to first listen to these young guys from New Jersey. They're going to tell you how they feel about classrooms, what they're doing, why they feel teachers pay more attention to females. And then right after that, we're going to bring you the great L.A.K. Locke from New Jersey. So get your pens and papers, and I want you to listen to this one very good message from these 15 different people.
Holla! And the doctor said, you have a son. Ha-ha! What does it take to go from a boy to a man? Is it growing a father figure in your life?
Trying to figure it out. A few bad teenage boys, which is what you hear about on the news, is not what old or most teenage boys are like.
People say most of us just juvenile delinquents. We just want to run around and terrorize. It ain't really like that.
You watch the news at night or you pick up the New York Times Magazine. All these articles making it look like all teenage boys are like in straitjackets, and that's not true at all. And I don't think that we should be portrayed that way.
From the first day that we were born, you know how parents treat boys rougher? Like they throw a football at them, back. Why you ain't catching the ball? And they throw it hard until you catch the ball. Girls that walk to the girls, like give them a little rose, like here, go play in the yard or something. And boys, they go play in the street or something.
Like the way you
they feel sorry for the girls, but they don't feel sorry for the boys. It's like they tell you to go suck it up, whatever. Like in football, the coaches, they don't even help you. I was playing football, I got tackled, like my leg hurt. Too bad. I'm going to run out of the field, my leg limping like this or something. It don't make no sense.
Yes,
instead of trying to be nice and say, oh, back up or something, they're going to just throw me back out there. Well, you know, suck it up, I'll suck it up. But when you suck up as much as you can, that's the end, when you're breaking point, and then they still, you know.
That girls are discriminated, it's really a myth, because I haven't seen in any of my classes a teacher being more like being discriminating towards the girls. From what I've seen, they don't like the guys a lot more than they don't like the girls, because I think that there's actually an even bigger stereotype that the guys like goof off a lot more, and then it ends up that teachers are a lot of times stricter on guys than they are on girls.
A lot of girls have this mentality that they have to, you know, overdo certain boys because they are, you know, because boys already they probably think have a leg up in the world, so that they have to work even harder and be even more competitive to succeed and achieve as much as boys do.
In our school, next year, a lot of girls are signing up for wrestling. And I think there was one girl that signed up for the football team.
Yeah, okay.
And all the guys on other teams are like, oh, I can't wait for hitting drills.
One day, my sister asked me to teach her how to defend herself, and my mom heard it, and my mom was like that girls weren't meant to fight, like guys were meant to like defend girls. And I told my mom that was wrong because I know girls that could beat me up. And she a girl, you know what I'm saying?
If a girl gets higher than me, I'll be pissed for like the rest of the year. I don't want to see any girls getting ahead of me. So I feel slightly threatened by the fact that girls would get ahead of me. But I just think it's not, it goes against nature in my own head. I feel small. I have an ego complex or something, Napoleon thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
And there's a good amount of classes where it's just the girls, they seem to have a stronger voice over the boys as far as, like, expressing their views, like, especially in classes more where it's opinionated, like English or something of that sort. I mean, they really get to express what they want to say, and the teacher listens to them all the time. I feel like the boys don't always get that same attention.
I take programming. There are a couple of girls in the class. I think truthfully favors them. Like, say we're all sitting there working on programs or whatever it is we're working on. If one of us asks him for help, he like briefly comes over to us, says something, then goes on. If the girl in our class asks for help, he spends like a good 20 minutes, step by step, just telling her how to do the work and just doing the whole program for her. He kind of just expects more from us. He expects that we don't need the kind of help.
Most of my classes, all the teachers' pets would be girls. Like, constantly, you could just, like, tell that the, like, one girl or someone, like, out of the entire class would just be favored. Like, the teacher would always call on her, or, like, you know, they'd always agree with exactly what she had to say. Like, sometimes I feel like if one of my friends said the exact same thing, the teacher would have, like, said, like, no, I don't really know about that, but maybe she does.
My whole teacher, she just gives us a book, like, 40 pages to do, and define words. I talked to one of the females that go to my school, and she was like, well, that class is easy. All you got to do is just write. But most females I know, they like to write. I want to do something. I mean, let's talk or do something. I mean, I just can't sit there and just write.
If you're sitting in a classroom for 40 minutes, and especially if the teacher's boring, you're listening to this, none of it's just going in because you're so completely bored, and you have all this energy inside you, and you have no idea what to do with it. And you just can't concentrate. And some people, so that's why I think a lot of guys are just given these drugs more, because so that this energy doesn't completely overtake them, so they can at least hold it until they can spend it somewhere.
I know a few kids in my grade who are on like Prozac or Ritalin, and they're all guys, and I don't know any girls who are on anything like that. And I think that that is true, that just because boys have so much energy and what they do with the energy is, I think, why so many people, or boys for that matter, are put on like drugs. With their anger, they build up and they actually do something like destructive with it. And most girls wouldn't do that. Like, you don't see girls going out and like shooting rampages in like their schools. It's only like guys who have lots of anger fed up inside of them. They go out and doing it, so that's why they give them all these drugs to try and calm them down, make them normal again.
Well, and that's part of my show that we were talking about. You got a chance to hear from these young men and their points of view of what they think the teachers are saying or doing or handing out assignments. And a lot of times I think that, first of all, we're trying to give advice and we're not asking people who need the advice what they really think. We're just getting out there saying, well, this is the book I read, or this is what so-and-so said on TV, or doctor this and doctor that. And I asked them a lot of times, hey, have you talked directly to these young guys? Well, no, because all young black men are like this, or like the man said, you see these articles and all of a sudden everything is based on what you read rather than the information you know. So again, you just got to change the way you're doing things. We're going to switch paces for a minute, but again, we're talking about the pros and cons of relationships. We got 44 minutes left into the show, and we want to get to a song before we get back to Deborah Cox, another artist that made a song just tight. And I mean, I play it all the time. And I want you to listen to the lyrics again, because it's called Just One Look by Doris Troy. Now, her real name was Doris Payne. And the song, Just One Look, is co-written by American R&B singer Doris Troy and Gregory Carroll. The song was recorded by Troy as a hit in 1963, peaking at number 10 in the U.S. single charts. Details vary on how the single came to be released on Atlantic Records, meaning that people don't really know. But anyway, back to Billboard, One Hit Wonders was considered to be the Doris Troy thing. But James Brown saw Troy performing in a nightclub under her then stage name, Doris Payne, and introduced her to Atlantic Records. And according to a more recent and detailed story in Soulful Divas, Payne recorded a studio demo on the song and took it to Sue Records first. But they lacked from the public, I guess, and Jerry Wexler at Atlantic, where the label was released, the demo. Now, the demo. They took the demo unchanged when she brought it over there. The personnel on this song is Horace Oat on piano, Snags Allen on guitar, Barney Richmond on bass, and Bruno Carr on drums. The single release was the first time she started using Doris Troy. And as her stage name, through her pen name, remained Doris Payne. But let's get to her track that you've heard before. And this is another young lady that went out, tried to do her thing, and they got screwed up, turned around. But the pros were she ran into James Brown, and he turned on to Wexler. So, I mean, what more can you say? We're constantly telling you that you can't make your life depend upon what everybody else is saying. Pros are you have to believe in yourself. The cons are we're all going to get depressed sometimes and do different things, but guess what? You can still make it. So let's listen to Doris Troy, Just One Look.
laughing at my producer. Like, where you find that song at? I said, just one look. That's how you feel when you fall in love, see that person. And I knew. Oh, man. In love. I'm about to play that again someday, man. I like that, man. When I found that song, I said, man, James Brown knew what he was talking about, boy. Open up the door, and I'll get it myself. Yeah, James. Man, I like James Brown. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And if you want to email me at McClureDonS@yahoo.com. Or go to my business email that lately ain't been acting right, DonSMcClure@dsmpublications.net. And I want to send a special shout out to a new client and friend of mine, Jenny Zivlett. She was on my show last week, and she's now a member of the Illinois Center for the Book, which is going to do her a lot of justice, get her some rankings. But you're listening to my show tonight. That was just one look. So the next time you're out in your car driving and you see somebody, give them just one look. They might be the girl or the guy you really want. Just one look. I like that, man. I like that song there. Let me get to this Chicago-style hot dogs. PSA for strokes. And when we come back, we're going to do a track by After 7. And then I got to play a track by my guy, Mike Q, because I was supposed to play that last week. But let's get to this track, a PSA for strokes, because I don't want nothing to happen to you.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
And I want you to make sure you do that, because I don't want anything to happen to you. I'm trying to learn how to run 9 miles if I can, or 10 miles or whatever. Anyway, hey, remember I told you I had a funny story to tell you? Anyway, I was talking to one of my greatest fans on the phone. We're chatting, right? And I'm going to the store, Walmart, to do some things. And her name is Denise Cole. And we're just laughing. I'm in the parking lot laughing, and people are just cracking up, because I was telling her, I've got 13 books listed as to my credits, right? 4 or 5 I'm getting ready to come out with, and 7 or 8 I got already on the market. And I told her, I said, do you know what? Last week, I couldn't sleep so bad. All the characters in my book were in my bedroom. I mean, I saw Tiana. I saw her daughter. I saw David. I saw the people from Dark Side of the Earth, and they were all in my room kicking me, beating me. And I was like, what the heck is all these characters doing in my room? And she told me just to tell them, hey, you got to go somewhere, but you're going to get out of here. And it was so funny when I was telling her the story, because I was like, girl, they all in my head, and they were all in my room. I mean, every last character, Troy, Matthews, Davia, all the characters in my book, the demons, they were all sitting on the edge of my bed. I was like, y'all better get on out of here. So a friend of mine told me, stop writing so many books at one time. You're going crazy. I said, no, I'm fine. Anyway, that was a little story I wanted to tell you. And, I mean, can you imagine? I had the spies, the Koreans. Everybody was in my room. We got 32 more minutes into the show. And, yes, I've been drinking some tea. And my producer is enjoying the show. I want to play this for him. This is a dedication called Ready or Not. And this is for the people that keep saying ain't no love out there, but I'm telling you, it's by After 7, and I actually didn't know it was by them. So let's give a track to Ready or Not, Here I Come, and this is like old school, so let's do a little old school.
ready or not. You know what? I think me, my producer, my best friend, Tony, we're going to go by some girl house. We're going to be outside. We're going to be ready or not. I give you the sky, the moon, the world, the mountains. And I think what happened is she'll throw some water down on me. Yeah, that's funny. I like that track, ready or not. So if you're not ready or not, then I'm going to do that in a karaoke. I promise you. I'm going to have a karaoke with people playing number sing. Ready or not, me and my boys, we're going to hang out. Okay, let me play my cue. I was supposed to play him last week, and I played him before. But he's from the Korea area, and actually even in Vietnam, they play his music. So I promised I would play that for one of my new fans in the Philippines and my new fans in Cambodia or wherever the heck the Vietnam area is. But anyway, let me play my cue, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that track that Doris did because a whole bunch of people sang that track. But let's get to my cue, a little different. And like I said, get your hats out, guys, your karaoke mics, and go to your girlfriend, take some flowers, and sing that ready or not stuff. I give you all my love.
Thank you.
Tennessee said, hey, dog, yee-ha-ho. I like that, man. Now, those are called K-pop artists. So if you want to look up some K-pop artists, that's who my Q is. He's a K-pop artist. And I guess that's called a Korean pop artist. I don't know. But I like his music. And actually, I got some more of those artists. And one night, I'm going to play a whole bunch of stuff from Korea. Man, I tell you, that's probably why all them characters was in my bedroom, kicking my bed, stuff about, you don't get rid of us. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And guess what? My maid and my producer's wife say they will be the background singers at my karaoke. They say they love me. They email me and say, hey, Don, you need some backup? We'll come sing for you. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only, the greatest on the Internet. The greatest in the world. I mean, I swing like a butterfly and float like a, what is, I don't know. Oh, man. My producer saying you're not giving me no more tea anymore. Anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on Friday. It is 8 o'clock, and, man, this time is moving by. There are tracks that I like, and there are tracks that I like. And, of course, I have to play the tracks that I like. But you know what's so amazing to me is there are so much great music out there. And it's been written by some of the greatest songwriters in the world. Now, I was telling you about Doris Troy, and I connected her to the pros and cons. And I was telling you that she went to one record company, which was the cons, and it didn't work. She went to another record company, and it did. So I want you to examine what you're doing. But that song that she did was Just One Look, became a UK hit. The version by the Hollies, which reached number two there in the spring of 1964, although not a major U.S. hit in its original release, the Hollies' Just One Look marked first appearance of the Hollies on the Billboard. Ann Murray did the song. Linda Ronstadt did the song. Rodney Gambler did the song in Canada. Faith, Hope, and Charity did the song. Klaus Nomi version in Germany did the song. I mean, everybody did Just One Look. So when you hear some songs sometimes, it should make you go, I wonder who wrote that song. And like I told you, that young lady was good. Doris Troy, that was in 1963. So just goes to show you, man, you got to stick with what you believe in and just keep working at it. And if you really want to do something in life, the pros and cons of your life, pick the people that are really behind you and want to see you make it. Don't deal with a lot of the people that really don't think you can do anything, because all they're going to do is distract you. The new CD that came out in 2008 for Deborah Cox is good from the beginning to the end. What makes this CD so wonderful to me? Two songs in particular, Beautiful You Are, with its pulsating beat, great message, and great vocal, especially when she holds the note halfway through the song. That's Deborah Cox. That was in 2008, 1995 to 1997. Deborah Cox had the label executive Clive Davis get involved in her with Arista Records. Then in 1998 to 2001, she did One Wish. Then in 2002 to 2005, she did The Morning After, and her acting career began. So in 2006, 2007, Destination Moon came out, where she highlighted the song that I played for you, What a Difference a Day Makes. So you know she knew how to pick some great songs. And then in 2008, 2009, she did The Promise. And again, it was a studio hit. And in 2010, she did To Present, the Queen Project, entitled Dance Album, Jekyll and Hyde. And I think that's from some kind of play. In September 2009, it was announced that Cox would be joining Kelly Price and Tamia to form the group. I guess that's what they were doing, the Queen Project. But anyway, don't know what happened to that. But in 2011, Cox achieved 11 number ones with If It Wasn't For Your Love. 2012, Cox had a new track out called Higher, and in April 2013, Cox stated that a project, Broadway musical, in which she played Josephine Baker, which had been workshopped in 2011, was still planned, the production being dependent on available revenue. So, I mean, you got to take your hats off to Deborah Cox now. It's a bad girl, just bad. Maybe I can get Deborah Cox to sing in my background group. Hey, it'll be called Don and the Romantics and Deborah Cox. I like that, man. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. We got 17 more minutes into the show, and I am really enjoying this. We've got to get this track in by Brenda Russell, because I said I would play it. And of course, I like Brenda Russell, and I think she is so jazzy. That's my old word, and I might bring it back.
Good look at love. Just take my hand, it's reaching out to you, and hold me like no other. It's what you wanna do. Try not to breathe.
Man, you know, I love that song. I must have played that song 7,000 times. I like that song, man. You can't add. I just like the whole arrangement to that. So you may hear me play that more than once on my show, man. That is a heck of a track. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show on a Friday, and I want you to make sure you get my new book. I love writing a fun love story. As a matter of fact, I was playing that song the other day when I was working on the book. I mean, it's done. We're out. So get it. Go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net, and you will find my great books. Tonight, we were talking about that myth. Nobody in this earth can succeed by themselves. So if you want a great relationship, you gotta have a team. That's just the truth of it. And you can kid yourself, you could say whatever you want to say, but if you don't have that team, teamwork. I mean, watch the movie Any Given Sunday, and at the end he says, either we will heal as a team, or we will surely die as individuals. And I'm telling you, man, you can't do a lot of things without a team. So for all you people out there trying to put things together and do things, and like I said, make sure you get involved with people that are sincere and want to see the best. Too many organizations and not enough real support can be damaging to your well-being. It'll give you a heck of a lot of stress if you don't find the right people to work with. So again, I want you to think about that. I want you to look at the pros and cons of what's going on in your life. And I want you to really consider, say, hey, you know, like Tony Gwynn, he tried to do something outside of baseball. He even played basketball for a while. But he said, you know what, the best thing I can do is play baseball. And had he not been chewing that tobacco, he'd probably still be here today. So pros and cons of your life, watch what you take into your system, because that's what's going to hurt you. That's the cons of life. So you don't always have to eat Colonel Sanders or whoever, I can't say their names, but try to think about living for a long time. We're going to play a track by Lyra called Feel Good, because I want you to feel good on this Friday night, because I'm going out to a karaoke bar. I'm telling you, tonight, if I could get Brenda Russell and Deborah Cox and Amarilla Santiago and five other girls to sing behind me, Doris Troy, man, I'd be bad, won't I? Oh, man, my maid and my producer's wife would be singing. That's crazy. Anyway, I'm going to dedicate this song to a special person, Anita. Feel good. She's at work right now doing a great job, but I want her to feel good. Get rid of that stress and just, hey, enjoy your life.
I just wanna feel good every day. I wanna wear a smile upon my face.
La, la. Man, we were jamming in the studio on that one. Da, 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 da. Listen, this is going to be a wrap for me. I'm going to play my girls before I get out of here because I want you to enjoy life. That's all you have. Have a great weekend. Think about me. Oh, and my daughter's getting married in August. So I have to go to her wedding in Alabama. And I want to send a shout out to Debbie Russell in Alabama. But you know what? I'm going to turn Alabama out. Oh, what's up? I like that. Anyway, listen, you have a great weekend. I'm going to play my girls. I've got to go before she gets in my ear with this. You have 90 seconds. I've enjoyed it. It's been great. Enjoy your weekend. We're going to leave out with the emotions. The best of my love.